Standing at midlife's threshold can feel like waking up in a stranger's life, one that looks successful on paper but somehow feels hollow inside. Kiran Setia's philosophical exploration of this territory offers something different from the typical self-help prescription of changing jobs, buying sports cars, or finding younger partners. Instead, he delves into how we might change our relationship with life itself. The midlife crisis, a term only coined in 1965 by psychoanalyst Elliot Jakes, has become a cultural fixture. Yet research reveals something surprising. While catastrophic breakdowns remain rare, data confirms that depression and anxiety peak around age 45, approximately 4 times higher than in teenagers. This U-shaped curve of life satisfaction appears consistently across 72 countries, and, remarkably, even among great apes. What's happening in these middle years isn't just cultural mythology, but something fundamental about human existence, a philosophical problem requiring philosophical solutions. How can we find happiness when directly pursuing it seems to make it vanish? John Stuart Mill's breakdown at 20 parallels midlife crisis. Despite his extraordinary education and accomplishments, Mill fell into profound depression, questioning his achievements and finding no joy in previously cherished pursuits. His recovery came through 2 revelations vital for navigating midlife. First was the paradox of egoism. Happiness cannot be attained by pursuing it directly, but emerges when we focus on something beyond ourselves, whether social causes, creative endeavors, or meaningful relationships. Self-absorption leads to emptiness, while genuine engagement with the world creates fulfillment. Second, Mill discovered through Wordsworth's poetry the distinction between ameliorative activities, those that solve problems, and contemplative pursuits with inherent value. Modern life often becomes consumed by ameliorative demands, bills, work problems, health concerns, leaving little room for activities with existential worth. Yet these contemplative pursuits, from philosophy and art to swimming and games with friends, give us what Aristotle called a share in the life of the gods. The balanced life requires both practical engagement and contemplative joy. That gnawing sense of constraint, of paths not taken and lives unlived, intensifies at midlife regardless of success. Even highly accomplished individuals feel locked into their trajectories, mourning alternative lives they might have led. This reflects a philosophical truth. Most significant life choices involve incommensurable values that cannot be perfectly substituted. Choosing to be a world-traveling photographer means not being deeply rooted in community. Pursuing competitive athletics limits academic research. The diversity of worthwhile pursuits guarantees we will miss out on things worth wanting. What we truly envy about youth isn't unlimited possibility, but freedom from regret, not yet knowing which possibilities each choice will foreclose. We nostalgically imagine having our current self-understanding while retaining youth's open future, an impossible combination. The pain of missing out actually reflects life's extraordinary richness. There is so much worth loving and achieving that no single life could encompass it all. Rather than a tragedy, this is testament to human potential. Midlife brings a reckoning with past mistakes and disappointments. The distinction between mistakes and regrets offers clarity. Mistakes are things we shouldn't have done, while regrets involve wishing to rewrite history, erasing not just errors, but everything that followed. 2 paths help us rationally affirm our choices. First, risk aversion. We compare a known outcome, our actual life, with uncertain alternatives, preferring the bird in hand to imagined possibilities. More profoundly, we respond more strongly to concrete goodness we intimately know than to abstract alternatives. A philosopher might acknowledge medicine would have been better in theory, yet still affirm philosophy because they know its texture, the student's breakthroughs, intellectual discoveries, exploration of truth, in ways they can never know the road not taken. What saves us from regret isn't just risk aversion, but the amplitude of life, its unfathomable particularity. We live in details, not abstractions. The morning coffee ritual, inside jokes with colleagues, specific challenges overcome. The specificity of our experiences can rationally outweigh the abstract fact that another path might have been better. When Simone de Beauvoir wrote that she had been swindled, despite all life's promises being kept, she wasn't lamenting mistakes, but time's passage. In middle age, death becomes concrete. We can count our remaining decades on one hand. While Epicurus argued that death is nothing to us, when we exist, death isn't present. When death arrives, we no longer exist. This provides little comfort. Death still means permanent deprivation of life's goodness. Philosophy offers two partial remedies. Meditation on prenatal non-existence helps us see death as disappointing rather than catastrophic, as we don't mourn not existing before birth. Second, viewing immortality as an extravagant gift rather than an expectation shifts perspective. Literature consistently portrays immortality as dystopian, suggesting our desire for endless life might be disproportionate. Our fear of death stems from attachment to our irreplaceable value. No philosophical distinction can vanquish mortal despair, but understanding its nature helps us live with it more gracefully. Life often feels like running on a treadmill. Each accomplishment quickly loses its luster, driving us toward another pursuit for temporary satisfaction. Schopenhauer identified this fundamental dilemma. We either have no desires and face boredom, or have unfulfilled desires and experience suffering. We spend our days completing and eliminating the very projects that give our lives meaning, creating a perpetual cycle of pursuit and emptiness. The solution lies in atelic activities, those without terminal states, which offer profound meaning. Unlike projects with clear endpoints, atelic activities are inexhaustible and realized in the present moment. Walking for its own sake, philosophical discourse, creating art, or parenting are fulfilled in their very doing. Even purposive work contains atelic dimensions. A lawyer might find joy in the intellectual challenge beyond winning cases. A teacher might value daily student interactions beyond test scores. Mindfulness meditation provides practical tools for appreciating present moment experiences, helping overcome our goal orientation. Living mindfully means perceiving value not deferred to the future, but realized here and now, resolving the midlife crisis by living in the present. Midlife isn't a problem to solve, but a journey requiring wisdom. Avoid excessive self-involvement. As Mill found, fulfillment comes through engagement beyond ourselves. Balance ameliorative and existential values. Make room for activities that enrich life beyond problem-solving. Accept that missing out reflects life's richness. Choices necessarily exclude alternatives because time and capacity are finite. When facing regrets, find reconciliation by appreciating how your life's fabric, including imperfections, created who you are today. Confront mortality by developing the capacity to grieve in advance while still working toward a better life. Understanding death as integral to human existence enhances our appreciation of life's finite nature. The philosophical journey through midlife transforms crisis into opportunity, a chance to deepen understanding of what truly matters. This period can become one of integration, where limitation itself becomes a source of meaning. The middle passage isn't about escaping life's constraints, but discovering freedom within them, finding that the very boundaries we chafe against give our existence its shape, depth, and beauty.